A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Ksubas Tes Zayin, Ksubas 16, pagination 31. We'll start from the facing page on the bottom where the Mishnah of the new Perek begins. Ha'isha Shenis Arula Oz Shenis Garsha. Woman was widowed or divorced, which is ultimately the focus that we have when we grant her a ksuba. It's with the expectation that it may actually need to be collected. And that would be if the husband dies before her or divorces her. He omeres, she claims, besula nisasani. When I got married, I was a besula, a virgin, and therefore the amount of the ksuba is 200. Vuhu omelochi, and he or his descendants who are now dealing with her, because their father died, they're saying, no, ela almona nesasech, you were married as a widow, meaning a previously married woman, and after that first marriage, you then married this husband that we're discussing, and you're only entitled to 100, because when you went into the marriage, you were a be'ula. Im yesh edim sheyotzes behenuma v'rosha parua kisubasa masayim. If she can produce witnesses that remember that she went out with the certain type of headpiece or veil that was unique to besulos, v'rosha parua, or her hair was uncovered, as would be the way of a besula, kisubasa masayim, she's entitled to 200 based on that proof. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, Av chilu kalayos raya, also if they were distributing the special dried grain that was very sweet, so then that also would be a proof, because apparently the minig was that they only distributed that when the kala was a besula. Take a look at Rashi, the last two lines. Av chiluk kalayos, rigilim hayu lechale kalayos latinokos. They used to give out this dried grain to the children, benisuei habesulos, when a besula was getting married. And Rashi continues and explains a little bit better. Kalayos, kishashibolim lachim, when the sheaves are still wet after the harvest, meyavshimo sambetanur, they would dry them in the oven, vehein kalayos, that's what this is, it becomes dry and hard, umesukim leolam, and it remains sweet forever. And perhaps those last words are actually where the custom came from, very similar to our distributing candy or sweets. It was a good omen, an association, that the marriage should be sweet forever. For whatever reason, the excitement wasn't the same or whatever, but they didn't do it by be'ulos, and therefore the distribution of such treats would be an indication that she had been a besula at the time of the marriage and was entitled to 200 upon its termination. Let's move on to Ksubas Amud Beis over here of Tes Zayin. So we're on 16b, pagination 32. Five lines down, where the Gemara poses a challenging consideration. Im yesh edim sheyatzes habehinuma. If there are witnesses that she went out with this special veil that indicates that she was a besula, or if we had any other indications that she was a besula. V'lechosh dilma mafka edim b'hai beidina. Why aren't you worried that she's going to bring edim to this bezdin, v'gavya, and she's going to collect based on this type of testimony? and then she's going to produce her ksuba itself, the actual document, in a different bezdin that doesn't know of the happenings over here. And they're going to also give her her ksuba, and she'll end up collecting twice. This is a consideration whenever we work with other proofs. There was a document. We want you to produce the document. And this way we can destroy the document that verifies how much is owed, and we'll give you your money. It's the same type of situation when you have a malva and lova, someone loans someone money, the borrower is ready to pay back and says, but I want you to destroy the document that says that I owe you the money. And that's the fear over here, that if the document remains, I'll pay you the money based on the verification or the admission that you owe money, and you're going to pay once. And then someone's going to pull out the document, and you're going to end up paying a second time. We can't do that. The Gemara presents two solutions to this problem, two answers, and we paskin like both of them. Omar Rabbi Avo says, Zoso meres, from here you have a proof that kosvin shover. You write a receipt. And this is a very significant breakthrough in logic, in ruling, because the person involved does not want to get a receipt, because then he has to watch the receipt and guard it and worry that if he misplaces it, the other person still has that leverage of that document that's not being produced. He would much rather, whether the he is the husband, or the he is the descendants of the deceased husband, or the he is the person who borrowed the money and would like that IOU returned to him before he releases the money, all of these people would rather get the document and destroy it and have the peace of mind knowing that the document no longer exists. They're not nearly as comfortable simply getting a receipt with the assurance that the IOU, or the ksuba, will not be produced in the future. Not so comfortable with that. So this is a breakthrough ruling that we will rely on a receipt if the person claims that he can't find the document in order to return it. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa approaches it from a simpler situation, and he says, "B'makom she'ein kosvin ksuba askinon." We were dealing with a case where they didn't write a ksuba, and everything was based on the evidence from the time of the chasna, and it was assumed that the chasna would be very public and known, and there would be witnesses, and all of these indications that she was a psula were presumably planted, like intentionally done, in order that it should be known that this is a marriage of a psula, whether it was an act of pride or an act of verification. We see later on the Amud clearly indications that they purposely let people know if she was a psula or a ba'ula, and therefore that testimony is what they relied on and would be accepted to have her receive her ksuba money. Again, our custom is very firm that we write a ksuba and we require that they have a ksuba. If for some reason they misplace it, it must be replaced. And it's always a bit of a situation if they misplace it while they're traveling. Sometimes chas and kala are afraid that you have situations that it was misplaced even as they're leaving the chasna hall. They're not sure where it is. And all of that has to be dealt with. But if she does misplace it and she wants to collect, we will allow her to collect based on the testimony of how the chasna was. But we will be kosvin shover. We will write a receipt. Yashikovach. Thank you for joining.